Today is July 31st, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the Fed's hawkish hold at 3.50 to 3.75%, the diverging CapEx signals coming out of Microsoft and Meta that are reshaping bank infrastructure costs, and a pending supplementary leverage ratio rollback that could unlock $2.6 trillion in lending capacity, set against a warning that private credit defaults remain a total blind spot for regulators. The Federal Open Market Committee held its benchmark rate steady this cycle, but calling it a pause undersells what actually happened. The vote was 9-3, with Governors Lori Logan, Beth Hammack, and Neil Kashkari dissenting in favor of an immediate 25 basis point hike. Chair Kevin Warsh went so far as to say higher rates could be part of the solution to inflation. Not exactly dovish language. September hike odds pricing eased to roughly 60% from over 70% heading into the meeting, but the broader signal, as commentary on both Fox Business and Kitco framed it, is a hawkish hold, not a dovish pause. The broader fintech pattern here is that monetary ambiguity is bleeding directly into infrastructure economics. Second quarter nominal GDP accelerated to 7.9% quarter over quarter on a seasonally adjusted annual basis, the highest since the third quarter of 2025. While real GDP growth actually slowed to 1.5% quarter over quarter. That gap between nominal heat and real softness is fueling what some analysts are calling a run-it-hot thesis rather than a genuine slowdown. Economist Danielle Lavorgna argued the current funds rate isn't even restrictive given booming nominal growth, strong capital expenditure, and rising commodity prices, with housing at roughly 3% of GDP, the only segment showing real rate sensitivity. Now look at what's happening on the 20-year end of the curve, because this is where bank financing costs get squeezed. The 30-year Treasury yield climbed to 5.22%, its highest level since 2007. On decision day itself, the 2-year to 30-year curve twist steepened by 13 basis points, tied for the widest long-end-driven steepening move in 32 years of data. Pair that with a 10 basis point jump in the 5-year inflation swap rate, and you have a market pricing in persistent inflation risk even as the Fed holds firm. This matters enormously for banks pursuing cloud-native modernization, because hyperscaler capital expenditure signals are diverging sharply right under the surface of that rate story. Microsoft cut its 2026 CapEx guidance to roughly $175 billion, down from $190 billion, and the market rewarded that discipline with a 17% share price jump. Meta went the opposite direction, raising its low-end guidance to a range of $130 to $145 billion, even as free cash flow fell to just $784 million, its lowest level since the third quarter of 2022. Shares fell 9%. Alphabet had it worse, posting its first-ever negative free cash flow quarter as a public company and suffering its steepest one-day stock drop in more than a year. Looking at the regulatory landscape, this uneven capital discipline across the hyperscaler cohort is a leading indicator for cloud capacity, pricing, and vendor negotiating leverage in the coming budget cycles, which directly touches any bank or payments provider building core banking or API layer infrastructure on rented cloud rails. If Microsoft is pulling back while Meta and Alphabet lean in, the pricing environment for enterprise cloud contracts over the next year looks far less predictable than it did 6 months ago. On the regulatory side proper, the headline development is Steve Hanke's flag of a pending supplementary leverage ratio rollback, which he estimates could release approximately $2.6 trillion in bank lending capacity system-wide. Barry Knapp corroborates the trajectory, noting that Vice Chair for Supervision Michelle Bowman is already advancing this deregulatory agenda as part of a broader plan to shrink the roughly $3 trillion in reserve cash banks currently park at the Fed, freeing them to absorb more Treasury issuance in the belly of the curve. Knapp's three-step framework under incoming leadership, lowering the policy rate toward roughly 3%, reinvesting the Fed's $6.5 trillion long-term portfolio into shorter maturities, and deregulating bank capital requirements, is expected to take 3 to 6 months to build analytical justification, with fall implementation likely announced at Jackson Hole rather than a standard press conference. The broader fintech pattern here is a collision between capital relief and unmeasured risk. DeMartino Booth's warning is the one worth sitting with. Private credit, now a multi-trillion-dollar asset class living largely outside bank balance sheets, has zero visible default reporting to regulators. Meanwhile, S&P data shows public market corporate bankruptcies sitting at 15-year highs. If SLR relief pushes banks toward more aggressive lending, just as private credit's opacity compounds, credit loss provisioning built on visible data alone may be understating system-wide risk by a meaningful margin. Add in external stress signals. Two of four recent Russian Ministry of Finance bond auctions attracting zero bidders. A pattern EM desks are comparing to pre-restructuring signatures seen in Argentina and Sri Lanka. And the risk picture gets less comfortable, not more. On the cross-border capital side, citizenship by investment and residency by investment programs represent an estimated $20 to $25 billion in annual global flows, concentrated in five Caribbean issuers, where CBI receipts have at times made up 20 to 30% of government revenue. Financial institutions serving this segment face compliance infrastructure costs of $2 to $5 million annually for enhanced KYC systems, with due diligence timelines running 60 to 180 days per applicant versus 5 to 10 days for standard private banking onboarding. That cost structure is a useful analog for any wealth tech platform weighing margin-attractive but regulator-scrutinized client segments. The math on enhanced due diligence overhead scales similarly whether you're a Caribbean bank or a private banking desk in London.
FinTech thesis update. What changed today is the balance between regulatory tailwind and credit risk headwind. The SLR rollback and prospective end of quantitative tightening point toward a 1 to 2 quarter window where loanable funds capacity expands meaningfully across the banking sector. A real opportunity for institutions willing to reprice deposit strategy and extend credit appetite ahead of competitors still boxed in by legacy capital rules. But that opportunity sits directly on top of an information vacuum in private credit and a hawkish Fed that isn't finished signaling. The institutions that win this cycle will be the ones that treat capital relief as a chance to build underwriting discipline, not just balance sheet capacity. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.